Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. Over the last couple of weeks, there have been riots in Los Angeles over ICE coming into LA to arrest and deport illegal aliens with criminal records. Not all illegals, but specifically targeting illegals with known criminal records. But still, the activists on the left and pro-immigration groups gathered to protest even the deportation of criminal illegals. A man handing out to protesters a truckload of professional face shields was a member of a radical Latino paramilitary group. So these are not middle American concerned voters. These are Antifa agitators who arrive on the scene whenever it's open season to protest and to damage property. But given the opportunity this affords, many Democrat organizations have decided it's now time to conduct anti-Trump rallies in all the major cities, something that they've been planning to do for quite some time. The no-protest rallies were somewhat of a flop, doing more harm for the Democrats than good, and I'll get to some of those details in a moment. But first, I want to discuss the moral conflict between the pro-illegal immigration crowd versus the anti-illegal immigration crowd. The pro-illegal immigration crowd believes that they're the epitome of compassion and moral virtue, seeing the other side as the Gestapo. And the anti-illegal immigration crowd, they believe they are supporting law and justice, and that the pro-illegal immigration crowd is pro-criminal. Well, who's right? The title I've given to this week's program is ICE, Immigration and Custom Enforcement is on God's Side. Now, that title is deliberately provocative just to get people's attention. But I do believe there is a very clear biblical case that can be made that the anti-illegal immigration position lines up with the law of God. And the pro-illegal immigration position is just another manifestation of the lawlessness, the hatred of the good, the rebellion found among the godless, as in their support for abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism, globalism, anti-God, secular humanism. It's a lawlessness Jesus said would arise in the last days, Matthew chapter 24. And it's indicative of the lawlessness of the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And the source is the world forces of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And we all know from experience that if God creates the institution we call the nations, Acts chapter 17, he appoints the times and the boundaries of man's habitation. And Genesis chapter 10, he separates into their lands, everyone according to his language, according to their families, into their nations. We can be sure the anti-God, the man is autonomous from God crowd, is going to despise borders and national sovereignty. If God is for it, there are going to be people who are against it. They have a different spirit. They have a different way they want the world to be in opposition to God's way. So consider the source. There are those who hold to biblical law, those who are anti-abortion, anti-trans, anti-men in women's sports, etc. They're opposed to illegal immigration, while those who support illegal immigration are an intersectionality of every godless ideology. As we saw this weekend in the No King protests, an intersectionality of every leftist group promoting every leftist cause. And as Jesus said, by their fruits you will know them. You might be unsure concerning where to stand on this immigration issue, but God has provided plenty of red flags to help us discern who's on the Lord's side. Now, of course, there are people who have a wrong view of Christianity, an unbiblical man-made version of Christianity, where Christianity is defined as that which loves people and affirms what people do. So there are some people claiming to be Christian supporting illegal immigration. But that is not Christianity as defined in the Bible. That's the lawless imposter Christianity, which Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, about how at the judgment there will be so many who claim that they have done many wonderful works in Jesus' name, but he will say to them, "Depart from me, you who work lawlessness." Now, before I go on, I want to play two clips that illustrate and help us better understand the moral divide. The first is a commercial narrated by Kristi Noem, the head of Homeland Security.
An illegal alien from Guatemala charged with raping a child in Massachusetts. An MS-13 gang member from El Salvador accused of murdering a Texas man. A Venezuelan charged with filming and selling child pornography in Michigan. These are just some of the heinous migrant criminals caught because of President Donald J. Trump's leadership. I'm Kristi Noem, the United States Secretary of Homeland Security. Under President Trump, attempted illegal border crossings are at the lowest levels ever recorded. And over 100,000 illegal aliens have been arrested. If you are here illegally, you're next. You will be fined nearly $1,000 a day, imprisoned, and deported. You will never return. But if you register using our CBP Home app and leave now, you could be allowed to return legally. Do what's right. Leave now. Under President Trump, America's laws, border, and families will be protected.
Now, what I found fascinating in that clip was the line, "Do what's right, leave now." And we can imagine the steam coming out of the ears of those who are on the left who believe the opposite. I mean, for the left, to do what's right means to demand your rights and to be in whatever country you want to be in. But how can it be that there's a total different definition of what is the right thing to do? Well, because each group operates upon a different worldview, a different foundation for ethics, and both groups are operating consistent with their foundations. And one foundation is right, but the other foundation is wrong. Those on the right value the biblical natural law concept of national identity and sovereignty, while those on the left completely discount any concept of national sovereignty and believe that the higher value is to affirm whatever people want to do. In their worldview, human desire trumps any institutional law found in scripture or otherwise. I mean, for them, the law is pharisaical, the law is oppressive, the law is unjust authoritarianism. And this is the modern philosophy that has taken over the world. It's often called expressive individualism, as taught in Marxism and in the Frankfurt School at Columbia University, the cultural Marxism, that law is oppressive, and that law is merely a social construct that is oppressive, that must be overthrown if mankind is to advance. And that in the Declaration of Independence, the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness means Americans should be all about letting people do whatever they want to do, rather than our founders' concept of liberty under law. This expressive individualism is also behind the sexual revolution, the legalization of drugs, gambling, pornography, prostitution, transgenderism, homosexual marriage, abortion. It's the philosophy of Sodom, the philosophy of Satan himself, "Do as thou wilt." And for those on the left, support for illegal immigration is more than just about illegal immigration. It's about freedom from the system. And that's why every leftist grievance group has joined in supporting illegal immigration, because it fits their entire worldview. They despise law. They despise anyone being told what to do because they hate it when people tell them what to do. Maybe they grew up hating the fact that they were told no. And so they don't believe anyone else should be told no. Their support for illegal immigration, even criminals who are here illegally, is all rooted in the narrative of self and human autonomy. Rather than focusing on the law of God, which is above them, the law of God to which they must conform. And with this focus on self, they consider those who oppose them bigots. They suppose that they're anti-human rights, anti-equality, authoritarians, haters of the human race, even as early Christians were called odium generis humani, haters of the human race, because Christians affirm God's righteous standards above affirming people and what people want. Let me get ahead of the arguments made by the left by pointing out that they would say, no, you conservatives, you're getting it all wrong. The law of God is that Jesus wants us to welcome the foreigner. That's what the law of the Bible is teaching, so therefore they are in agreement with God. But no, treating the foreigner with kindness doesn't mean a nation must open its borders and accept all foreigners as citizens. For illegals, the right thing to do is to go home and to apply for citizenship the right way and wait your turn. This is pleasing to God. Romans chapter 13, verse 2, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. And verse 5, therefore it's necessary to be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. So if you want to be blessed by God, if you want a clear conscience before God, if you want to be in the place of God's will, obey the state. That's God's leading. To claim that kindness toward foreigners means inviting the whole world to come to America is like saying love means we need to love transgenderism and homosexual marriage. Love and kindness are not virtues to be placed above the law of God. And when it comes to straightforward legal judicial requirements of God, there are to be borders and citizenship, and foreign invaders are to be repelled. Here's a second informative clip. Congress recently held hearings against sanctuary cities and states that have been impeding the work of ICE. The House Majority Whip, Tom Emmer, from the 6th District in Minnesota, excoriated his own governor, Tim Walz, for turning Minnesota into a sanctuary state. Now, as you listen to this clip, evaluate the righteous indignation coming from Congressman Emmer. Is he on the side of righteousness?
Majority Whip, Mr. Emmer from Minnesota.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Welcome back to Washington, Governor. I'm going to run through a series of facts before I get to my questions, so let's get started. Governor Walz, you signed the Health and Human Services Omnibus Bill into law in May of 2023. That bill expanded Minnesota Care to provide free health care to illegal aliens. You signed the Higher Education Omnibus Bill into law in May of 2023. That bill allows illegals to have their college tuition paid for by the state. You signed the Driver's License for All Act into law in March of 2023, and that bill allows illegals to receive driver's licenses. So, you claim you're not a sanctuary state. You just provide free health care, free college, and driver's licenses to illegal aliens. One reason you're here testifying before us today is because you refuse to cooperate with ICE. While states like Florida and Virginia empower their law enforcement to detain and remove criminal illegal aliens, you, sir, have done just the opposite. Your attorney general is directing law enforcement to ignore ICE immigration detainers. Do you agree with the attorney general's guidance?
Well, Congressman, it's good to see you again, and thank you for being here. First, I would say is my job as governor of Minnesota is to make Minnesota the best state in the nation.
Do you agree with the Attorney General's guidance?
Congressman, what I would say on this is that Minnesota follows all law.
It's a very easy question. And again, if you claim you're not a sanctuary state, you just claim that you support policies. You're not a sanctuary state, but you support policies that prevent ICE from doing their job.
Congressman,
isn't that right?
That is incorrect, Congressman. We follow the same laws you were in the Minnesota House. The law has not changed,
If you'll allow me, I've got limited time. Well, that's what you tweeted, by the way, sir. And on May 23rd, 2018, you tweeted, quote, "I support policies that keep law enforcement from enforcing federal laws," close quote. On May 17th, just this spring, at the University of Minnesota Law School's commencement ceremony, you said, quote, "Donald Trump's modern-day Gestapo is scooping folks up off the streets." When you said the words modern-day Gestapo, you were referring to ICE agents. Gestapo, by the way, sir, was the official secret police of Hitler's Nazi Germany. So you're calling ICE agents modern-day Nazis. Given the attacks on ICE agents that took place in Los Angeles over the weekend, don't you regard your dangerous inflammatory rhetoric as a problem?
The questions you want me to answer first.
So, sir, it saddens me that you refuse to express regret from comparing ICE to Nazis. ICE agents are brave Americans who get up every morning, leave their families, and put their lives in harm's way to protect our country, sir. You, at the very least, owe an apology to these dedicated public servants. I will say, sir, inflammatory rhetoric such as yours and the other governors on this panel is responsible for putting a target on the back of every ICE agent who is risking their life to protect our communities. Minnesota is all too familiar, by the way, with the chaos that ensues when you refuse to work with law enforcement to enforce the law. In May 2020, looting, acts of violence, and arson occurred on your watch in Minneapolis after you refused to bring in the National Guard. Governor, your agenda is clear. Free health care, free college and driver's licenses for illegals while handcuffing law enforcement when they're trying to protect our citizens and their communities. If you think that's not a sanctuary state, you shouldn't be governor. By turning Minnesota into a magnet for illegals, you have opened up our communities to dangerous criminals, including known terrorists, gang members, murderers, and child predators. You have sent a resounding message that if you're a hardworking, law-abiding citizen of Minnesota, your safety and well-being are not the priorities of Tim Walz and his administration. But if you're coming to our state illegally, you're not only welcome with open arms, you're entitled to free stuff on the taxpayer's dime. This is absolutely disgraceful. Governor Walz, your sanctuary state agenda has been defined by your utter failure. You have failed to enforce the rule of law. You have failed to uphold our national sovereignty. And most importantly, you have failed the people of Minnesota. The time for radical sanctuary state policy, sir, is over. The voters made that clear last November when they elected President Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance. You remember him, don't you? Governor, the time for real leaders is real leadership is now. And with that, sir, Mr. Chairman, I ask unanimous consent to introduce into the record the governor's tweet that I referenced from May 23rd, 2018, which makes it clear his hatred for federal law enforcement. Thank you.
Without objection, so ordered.
Now, conservatives certainly love it when people on the left get dressed down and they hear the truth that they would not otherwise hear in their own echo chamber, when they have to hear truths about themselves and their policies that they want to hide from the public. For Congressman Emmer, supporting illegal immigration is disgraceful. It's a failure to enforce the rule of law. It's a failure to uphold our national sovereignty. And it's hatred toward federal law enforcement. But notice for Tim Walz, it's who we are as Americans. It's the right thing to do, to open our doors to whoever wants to come in, rather than having an immigration process of vetting and limiting those who want to come in. I believe based upon the biblical concept of law and the biblical role of magistrates, Congressman Emmer is on the side of righteousness. Americans have naturalized over 1 million immigrants a year for the last 20 years. There's no other nation that offers that kind of kindness and compassion and opportunity to foreigners. However, because those on the left believe in expressive individualism and personal moral autonomy, they believe the United States should remove all borders and let everyone in. You would think they would at least go through the legal process of increasing the naturalization numbers of foreigners who apply, but no. They believe that the law ought to be ignored and borders should be open to everyone. Now, Emmer, as most conservative politicians, only address the pragmatic error that arises in the support of illegal immigration, the consequence of criminals crossing the border. Emmer doesn't address the core spiritual, theological, ideological error. I mean, he didn't dress down Governor Walz by saying the problem is you believe in affirming people over affirming God, or that you believe in expressive individualism and human autonomy over God's natural law. But that explanation is the job of the pastor, the theologian, the Bible teacher, the prophet. And this is what people like Tim Walz really need to hear. Because unless one is exposed to the root of their error, they're never going to come to realize their error. They'll never come to see that they've been deceived by building their morals on the wrong foundation of humanism. At least if they would hear the core reason for their ideology, they would know why they hold to certain positions. Now, by way of conclusion, I want to make some quick observations regarding the No King protests that took place last weekend. First, the Democrats had these protests in the works for some time. This was part of their plan to push back against President Trump's agenda, but they first needed an occasion to justify their protests. The protests actually started in April in what was called the hands-off protest movement. As is said in this New York Times article, quote, "The demonstrations organized under the slogan No Kings have been arranged by a number of groups that overlap with the coalition that put together the hands-off demonstrations on April 5th and other recent large protests against the president. Organizers include Indivisible, the ACLU, and 5501. Some of these groups organized protests during Mr. Trump's first term over abortion rights and gun violence. The hands-off protests in April focused on the message that the president was threatening health care, education, and Social Security. The coalition behind No Kings has branded Saturday a day of defiance against what the group describes as an authoritarian overreach by Mr. Trump and his allies. Plans for the event were in the works well before the federal immigration raids set off protests in Los Angeles and other cities." So this is the Democrats looking for relevance in their opposition to Trump. Here's another article. $2.1 billion machine behind spontaneous, and in quotes, spontaneous, anti-Trump protests. A Pearl Project investigation exposes 198 Democrat organizations orchestrating Saturday's No Kings demonstration. Here's another article from PJ Media. The desperate Democrat strategy to flip the immigration narrative. According to a report from Politico, Democrats may finally settle on a strategy to counter Donald Trump's success on immigration. But it's not by fixing the crisis they helped create. Instead, it looks like they're trying to manufacture a viral moments of victimhood. And according to a new political report, they think they've cracked the code, flipped the script by painting Trump's enforcement as cruel overreach. Yes, really. A poll conducted by Democrat-aligned groups, Way to Win and Impact Research, suggests that there may be a narrow path for Democrats to improve their standing on immigration, an issue where they're currently underwater by a staggering 58 points. Their hopes is to refocus the narrative from border security to sob stories about legal immigrants and accidental deportations. So again, realize that these protests are not simply about pro-illegal immigration. The Democrats would not be able to get enough people out just for that. This is an intersectionality, as they call it, of all leftist grievance groups working together to build a bigger crowd. A second observation. Notice the language and the labeling. No Kings protest. Christy Walton, the leftist daughter of the Walmart founder Sam Walton, put out a full-page ad promoting the protests. Sam Walton is turning over in his grave. The title is very clever and deceptive, playing off of American patriotism. The principles that Walton lists in her ad all sound like American values, upholding the Constitution, etc. But just like freedom today has been redefined to mean immoral freedom, the same thing is happening in regard to the word authoritarianism. Being anti-authoritarianism is now being defined as being against all righteous laws. It means supporting open borders, no immigration enforcement, as if that's what anti-authoritarianism is supposed to mean. But let's not be deceived by the word game that's being played. No Kings and anti-authoritarianism is being misdefined as let's get rid of the laws we don't like and keep the censorship we do like. You know, as in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 21, verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And that kind of anti-authoritarianism is evil. But this is the Democrat new spin, that the political right is dictatorial and authoritarian because the Republicans won't let them have what they want. And really, the sloganeering doesn't even make sense. Because everyone knows that those who are on the left, the socialists, the Marxists, they are the advocates for authoritarianism. That's the only way to force people to be Marxists. But nevertheless, this is the only thing they can come up with to try to create a moral justification for their position and to try to claim the higher moral authority. About 20 years ago, the theologian R.C. Sproul did a video series about civil government called The Church and the State. And the first point he made was that the whole concept of God's institution of government is based upon legal judicial force. Romans chapter 13, magistrates are to bear the sword to punish evildoers. There must be authoritarianism. Now, there is a cruel authoritarianism, but notice the slogan of the left is no kings, no authoritarianism, which is a subtle way to paint all righteous authority as evil. Anyway, Sproul shared a story to illustrate how easy it is for even intelligent people to be deceived by such slogans. Sproul said that he was having lunch in the Senate dining room with a well-known senator. And quote, the senator said to me, I don't believe that any government ever has the right to force its citizens to do what they don't want to do. And Sproul said he almost choked on his soup. Sproul replied, Senator, what I hear you saying is that no government has the right to govern. Because if you take legal force away from government, all you have left for government to do is to make suggestions as to how people behave. But whenever a government passes laws, the government is designed by God to enforce those laws, unquote R.C. Sproul. The left wants to make the issue authoritarianism, but not only is their protesting against authority wrong. They're wrong in the very issues that they're protesting. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter sums up all the arguments for Christian civil obedience with this one statement. 1 Peter 2:17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So if you get into a discussion with a religious leftist political hothead, just quote 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Even if Trump were a king, we're to honor him and not walk around with signs that say no kings. So while these no king protests were going on around in the country, the sign I put out in front of my church was 1 Peter 2:17, fear God, honor the king. A third point. As I mentioned, the no king protests were a failure. The media said 50,000 showed up for the protests in Manhattan. That really means probably about 20, 25,000 showed up. But even then, this was nothing more than people showing up who voted against Trump. And we already know that 49% of the public voted against Trump and 68% of New Yorkers voted against Trump. And that's all they could get out to their protest? 50,000 at most? These protests were simply a way for Democrats to have another opportunity to vote against Trump. It made them feel good. I suspect that few, if any, are looking at these protests and saying to themselves, wow, these people must be right because they're protesting. I think I'm going to change my positions and join their cause. Now, these protests certainly really don't indicate a shift in American attitudes. You know, that's what these protest organizers want us to believe, that, you know, this is a mass uprising of people now turning against Trump. But the electorate has become so much more sophisticated. The public can no longer be fooled through protests as if the American people are fed up with the current administration. The public understands that these are political operatives working to intimidate politicians. And the public doesn't take the bait any longer. And I believe we would all agree that these protests, if anything, they hurt the Democrats, especially given the contrast between the 250th anniversary military parade in Washington that represents law and order versus the protests that represent lawlessness. These protests were held intentionally on Flag Day and during the time of this military parade. I believe it was Charlie Kirk who said this last week that a non-political friend of his said, "What's with the Democrats? Every few years they burn down our cities." And you know, that's the same thing I'm hearing from independents. The Democrats are certainly leaving a lasting impression. The Babylon Bee put out this article, "Illegals help film Republican presidential campaign commercial." You know, the pictures of protesters in LA rioting and lighting fires and breaking windows and flying Mexican flags is a ready-made commercial for the Republican Party. Here's an article from MSN. LA riots hand Republican script for the midterms. So these protests end up being a good thing for the right. It's always good when the devil shows his horns. Such exposure is always from God. Well, this is not the program I was planning for this week, but this is a topic that still needed some attention. Just to help Christians understand and defend biblical truth in this regard, part of the strategy of Satan is not always to convince, but merely to confuse, to make people think that truth is somewhere in the middle, or that you can't know truth for sure because so many people disagree, so therefore you can't judge, or that truth is relative, since it can't be agreed upon, or it's neutral, it doesn't exist at all. But let's not be deceived by the fog and the propaganda of war. And we are in a war between light and darkness, between truth and error, between law and lawlessness. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called, and you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Jesus Christ, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandments without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do the right thing according to Jesus Christ, and may Jesus Christ reign.